Good morning, good to see you, glad to be here. My hope is to give you some things to think about as you process discipleship in your influence, in your church, etc. So my presentation is entitled The Reclamation of Discipleship is the Primary Missional Focus in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that title supposes that discipleship is not the primary missional focus in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I am of the assumption that it is not, but it should be, and I'll explain what I mean by that. The mission of the church comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus Christ says to go and make disciples. Our mission, I believe that our mission as a Seventh-day Adventist church is to make disciples. That is our mission. That is our purpose. Everything that we do, the reason that we exist, is for that purpose. And I believe that that's not where our focus has been, at least not recently. Over the past few decades, it has not been that focus. Our focus has been on programs and baptisms. And to kind of bring that to a greater awareness, maybe you get this, you understand this already, but I don't know why it keeps popping out. Let me just try something here. Thank you. I don't know why it keeps exiting out of the presentation. I switch this around. Maybe that's it. Apologies. Let's see if this will somehow help. Well, all right, let's try. Try one more thing if it doesn't work. So to reiterate, our focus should be on discipleship, and that I suppose that it is not. You measure what you value, and Anthony Wegner-Smith was just talking a little bit about this when he was talking about the scorecard. The scorecard is kind of a term of you measure that which you value. And we typically, in this discussion in church, in leadership, etc., we value programs and baptism. That's what we measure. So when I've worked at the conference level, whether on executive committees or ministerial director, and when we sit down and we plan out the year, it's a lot of programming. And when we evaluate the success or effectiveness of a pastor and or church, it's baptisms. Those are the things that we like to measure to determine if we're successful. So when we have a program in a church, and many churches will have programs throughout this Easter season, that whether it's a success or not will be based on the number of people who come to the program. So did the program go well? Did a lot of people come out? It was a success. Let's do it again. What made it a success? Everything went well. Everybody had a good time, and there was a lot of people present. That tells us that the program is our purpose, is our mission. Not how many people came to Christ, how many people grew in Christ, how many people grew in their relationship with God and relationship with others, etc. Discipleship was not the value. It was the program. Or in baptisms throughout the North American division and throughout the world, as you've been hearing throughout the weekend, baptisms is something that we measure. In fact, there are places where you cannot be ordained as a pastor unless you've had X number of baptisms. And pastors can be let go or fired in certain divisions in our world church if they don't acquire a certain number of baptisms. And there's a whole ethical side to that issue as to whether that they're ethically getting disciples versus the number of baptisms. And so I'm pushing to say it has to be on discipleship. That is our mission. That is our purpose. Kind of defining what a disciple is, that the Greek is the matateo, which means a disciple is someone who is a follower of the precepts, instructions, and life of an individual. So the simpler definition would be a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who follows the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. So the teachings is, what did Jesus teach? He taught about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? How does that apply? Do people? So there is a teaching involved with that, but also the life of Jesus Christ, how he lived, how he demonstrated, what he did with his time should be prevalent in the life of the believer. So if we were to define it, I were to define it, I would say that a disciple is a follower of Jesus' teachings and life that is actively making disciples of others. So when Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, when he said, go and make disciples, he was telling the disciples to go and make disciples. So a disciple is someone who believes what Jesus believes, lived what Jesus lived, and actively made other disciples of Jesus Christ as well. So our mission and our focus should be for people to understand what Jesus taught, how he lived. They are growing in that belief. Theology is important. They're growing in that lifestyle. They're living like Jesus. They're loving their neighbor like Jesus loved their neighbor. They're sacrificing themselves, giving of themselves, putting themselves out for the benefit of other people. But they are also actively discipling other people in Jesus Christ. If they are not actively discipling others, then are they a true follower of Jesus? Are they living the life that Jesus lived? Are they fulfilling the mission of making disciples if they're not making disciples? That's what we need to be pushing against. Discipleship is a journey, not a destination. And I say this because oftentimes we work so hard in our church to acquire the baptism. I do an evangelistic series almost every year. We've got one planned later this month that we're doing. So I believe in public evangelism. I believe in the three angels messages, etc. I'm preaching on that in a few weeks. But we spend so much time, so much money, so much effort to hold an event of meetings, a program of meetings, so that people will become baptized, and then we're done. Okay, one more thing to fix, and then I'm done with this. So we focus so much on the event and the planning that we miss out on what real discipleship is, actually people growing in Christ, developing that lifestyle of following Jesus Christ. And we say, okay, you're baptized, now you're a member of the church, and what do we do to help them continue to grow? What are we intentionally doing? Now, are we intentional about people being baptized? You bet. We have all the programs, all the resources available for that. But then what? Well, we have a few things here, a few things there. But at the local church, are we as intentional about discipleship, this journey? The second important principle to understand in discipleship is that discipleship happens through relationships. It does not happen through programming. Discipleship happens through relationships. Let me illustrate this. When Jesus, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 10 through 25, says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, we refer to this a lot to say you need to come to church. And that's part of that assembling together. But you see in this context a group of people that are in relationship together to help each other in their faith, to strengthen each other in their faith so that they don't fall backwards. They continue moving forward. They continue growing in their understanding of who God is and what it means to live like Jesus lived and to disciple other people. This is a process of growth that is occurring, and it happens through relationships. Everywhere in the Bible we see discipleship happening by God using one person to use another. Saul, when he was converted to Paul. Jesus shows up to him and says, why are you persecuting me? Paul has this aha moment. He has hundreds of questions. And what we do not see Jesus doing is sitting down along the curb of that street and saying, let me explain it all to you. No, he sends him to a believer. Because that discipleship process happens through relationships. Jesus himself, in John chapter 3, after these things, Jesus and the disciples came to the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. How did Jesus disciple? He spent time with his disciples. That's how he discipled. It has to be through relationship. It has to be through spending time with them. This Greek word for spending time is diatribo. It means to rub against. It's this rubbing against. Jesus Christ is rubbing against. Like when you're rubbing against somebody, you start to rub off on them. Every once in a while, I have to take my suit in and get it clean because typically my shoulders get all this makeup on. Because all the nice older ladies in the church always have to give me their hugs on Sabbath morning, and after a while, my whole shoulder is just covered in makeup. Right? They're rubbing off on me. This is what Jesus is doing. By spending time with them, they're rubbing off. So when we're talking about discipleship, it doesn't happen through programming. It happens by people being in relationship together, intentional relationships of moving people forward. So I believe that as just as intentional as we are about an evangelistic series, about people coming to baptism, we need to be intentional about our discipleship path. What it means to be a disciple. Now, Anthony, he was just sharing about the merry-go-round, you know, the carousel, which is cool. There's the baseball diamond, whatever it is. Whatever it is. The key is to understand that we are moving people from wherever they are into a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Ellen White said this: the members of the church should give diligent attention to the Word of God, that they may understand their duty and then labor with all their energies of mind and heart to make their church one of the most prosperous in the land. Now, I don't think when she says that our church should be the most prosperous in the land, that it's the biggest church, that it's the most wealthiest church, that it's coated in gold and diamonds. I think what she means when she talks about being most prosperous in the land is that it is the most influential, the church of the greatest Christian influence in the community. And that happens through discipleship. And I think what Ellen White is calling us to do is to really fall down on our knees, to pray, to study, to research, which is what this whole weekend is all about. And then ask ourselves, how can we be most effective at accomplishing what Jesus Christ has called us to do of making disciples? So, again, Anthony's kind of sharing this in a little different perspective. This spiritual receptivity scale. Zero represents baptism. Left of the scale represents those people who are not yet with Christ. And the right of the scale represents those people who are growing in Christ. So the far extreme left at -10 are those people that are either hostile towards God or have absolutely no knowledge of God whatsoever. And they continue to grow from -9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zero is a place of baptism, surrendering their heart, falling on their knees, and giving them lives fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then you begin growing in Christ, +1, 2, 3, all the way up to +10, where we see the image of Jesus Christ fully reflected in the life of the individual. Everything we do as a church is to move people wherever they are on the scale, up the scale, one step at a time. So where are you at? You don't have to manage out loud, but just kind of hypothetically speaking, where do you see yourself on the scale? You see yourself at a +1, +2, +6 maybe? Do you think God is happy with you staying at +6? Do you think he wants to see you grow to +7? What are we as a church doing to help you grow to a +7? What about your neighbors that might be down at a -5 or 6? What can we do to help them to move from there up the scale one step at a time? Everything we do as a church should be to move people wherever they are in the scale up one step at a time. That is discipleship. That's what we're talking about as a discipleship. And we are doing it intentionally. We're not spending massive amount of money, massive amount of effort to pull off a program that lasts 4 to 6 weeks. We baptize 20, 30, 40, 60 people and then say, all right, we're done. Now we can just get back to church as normal, which is just a bunch of regular programs to entertain the members. Because then what happens is we get the results that David Trim was sharing. All these people that are baptized and now they're gone. They're not staying. They're not connected. Why? Because we put so much energy into them to coming to the place of baptism, but nothing after that. So how do we do that? We need to be thinking steps versus programs. When we're thinking of discipleship, we think of steps, not programs. So if someone is coming to Christ, what are the steps that take place from a place of somebody who doesn't yet have a relationship with Christ to where the image of Christ is fully reflected in the life of the individual? And as a church, you need to wrestle with that. You need to take the time praying it through and saying, what are the steps that happen in the life of the individual to get from where they are to where God has called them to be? Right? So a program is a system of services, opportunities, or projects usually designated to meet a social need. Steps, on the other hand, is one of a series of actions, processes, or measures taken to achieve a goal. Right? So we're looking to move people one step at a time in their relationship with God. So what are the steps that we identify as a church for people to do? Baptism is one of those steps, often maybe the first step in the process of discipleship. It is that public proclamation of a decision that they have made in their heart. All right? When we develop these steps, every step should be easy. Not to say surrendering your life to Jesus Christ is easy, but the opportunity for them to make that decision should be provided for them. They shouldn't have to go through a series of obstacle courses to figure out what do I need to do to get baptized? What do I need to do to start Bible studies, etc. Right? Every step should be obvious. Everybody, wherever they are, someone who has been a member of your church for 5 years should know their next step in discipleship is this. Somebody who has just started coming to your church should know, when I'm ready to take my next step, this is what it is. They should know what those steps are. Every step should be strategic. It should be designed to help them grow in their relationship with Christ as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we are intentionally moving people one step at a time through that process. So in order to do that, we want to begin with a clearly defined process, designate clear entry point to the process, design ministry for each step of the process, and evaluate whether steps create movement. So we're creating movement, helping people move in discipleship. And so we're looking at kind of our process of discipleship as to whether it's accomplishing these. People know how to jump on board, like the carousel that Anthony was talking about. They know where to jump on board. Or if you're using the baseball diamond, they know you step up to home plate. Do they know how to do that, etc.? And do they know where they go next? So when somebody, using Anthony's illustration, they hop off the carousel, do they know where to hop on next when they want to hop on, or what those opportunities are? God does not generally work miracles to advance his truth. He works according to great principles made known to us, and it is our part to mature wise plans and set in operation the means whereby God shall bring about certain results. So we're just providing that opportunity for people to take their next step in their relationship with Christ. So let me just share with you briefly some of the things that we're doing at the Beltsville Church. We're constantly evaluating and looking at how we're doing at accomplishing discipleship. So let me just share a few things for you. And the first thing is that we have identified a clear discipleship process. We've outlined 4 steps in the process. Connecting people with God is the first step. Connecting people with each other. Connecting people with the community, and connecting people with a life of spiritual growth. So these are the 4 steps that we have outlined in our church. Please do not replicate them in yours. You got to go through the work to make it happen. You got to figure out what discipleship means for you in your context. Our church took quite a long time to work through this process to come up with this. I mean, we even spent like a whole meeting to whether we wanted to use the word connect, right? So you got to figure out what you want to do. One of the elders had another word. I forget it now, but we joke back and forth all the time about it. So obviously God, connecting with God, is the place someone's given their life to Christ. Baptism is what that is. Bible studies, preparing for Bible studies, etc. Connecting with each other, they become part of the local church. They're using their spiritual gifts within the church. They're plugged into ministry in the church with the community. They're actively sharing their faith in Jesus Christ with other people in their family, etc. And they're also serving the community by actively doing something to engage the social needs of the community. And a life of spiritual growth where they know how to pray, they know how to study the Bible for themselves, they're not dependent upon the pastor or a Sabbath school teacher to help them grow in their relationship with God. And they are actively mentoring other people in their relationship with Christ. This is what we've kind of identified as what a discipleship process looks like for us. And at Beltsville Church, we have identified our discipleship process. We call it Next Steps. That's our Next Steps process. And we talk about next steps all the time. And we use that phrase because we want people to be thinking, what is my next step? And so we are completely right now redesigning our look. So we've taken this next step look. If you come to the Amondale campus, the original campus of Beltsville Church, our welcome desk week after next will be covered with this. So people know that's where they go to find out what their next step is if they don't know. We have banners that we're putting up. We just launched this one at the Tech Road campus, which is right across the street, this last Sabbath. And here pretty soon, we've identified kind of these 4 steps in the process and encouraging people to figure out what their next step is in their discipleship process. As such, we have created 4 Connect cards, one for each step in our process. These are out and available. We reference these. Well, we will begin referencing these on a regular basis, encouraging people to take their next step, whatever it is, in their discipleship process. So it's this intentionality about moving people. And just about everyone who comes is beginning to think, what's my next step? Now, whether they choose to take it or not is up to them, but they're getting that opportunity to know what is my next step in my relationship with Christ. Thank you.